we're doing as a Christian, as a believer of God's word, is we stunt our own Christian growth. So we become, you know, like a dwarf Christian, for a better word. But it says in the scriptures in Matthew 6:14, if you have your Bible, you can read these along with me. I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture this morning. So you can also listen to the podcast, and you can catch up as well on the podcast if you don't get all of this morning. But this is what it says in Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And Ephesians 4:32, as Stephen brought out, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, when I was putting this together, you know, it was a challenge this week to put this together. And with the two of us studying in the house this week, you'd think this fella was after robbing me notes. You know, because what I have here this morning is something, you know, similar to what Stephen brought. But, you know, the video link that we just watched here of the Oprah Winfrey, this was 25 years, and it was her season finale. And in the 25 years, she wanted to bring some of her best clips. And that was one of those best clips that you saw there. And it was of one man's definition of forgiveness. And what that was saying in that clip was letting go of the past, accepting that it has happened, but not accepting that it was okay. It's giving up the hope that the past would have been any different. You know, words, actions, and misdeeds, they can have a knock-on effect on families, on generations of families, on friends, on marriages, on relationships, on an employer, on work colleagues, on churches, and even in this house as the body here this morning. The effects of words, the effects of actions, the effects of misdeeds, what they can do is they can cause deep wounds within a person's soul. They can cause deep roots within a person's heart. And the overflow of that is it can produce feelings of anger, of bitterness, of resentfulness, of vengeance. And it stops people moving on. It stops people moving on in the things of God. And I want to try and put this into some type of perspective here this morning. And if you listen to this, I read this. The Japanese introduced a tree to the world that is called a bonsai tree. It is measured in inches instead of feet. And normally trees are measured in feet. And this tree is not allowed to reach anywhere near its full growth potential. But instead, it grows in a stunted miniature form to keep in line with Japanese tradition. And the reason for it growing in stunted form is that when it first stuck its head out of the ground as a sampling, the owner pulled it out of the soil and tied off its main taproot and some of its branch feeder roots. And then the owner replanted it. And by doing this, the owner deliberately stunted its growth by causing the roots to stop growing and spreading out. The bonsai tree. It's known for producing a sweet, sugary liquid. And this sweet, sugary liquid is called sap, as in S-A-P. And you know, when we were growing up as kids in our house, we used to call each other saps. But this is what this tree produces. And this tree produces this liquid. And this liquid is something that you and I use here every day. Or we will use when we go to a restaurant, or we will use at wedding affairs, or whatever the occasion may be. And this liquid that we use, we put it on waffles, we put it on ice cream, we put it on pancakes. And this liquid is called maple syrup. And I bet you didn't know that. But the owner of the bonsai tree, he deliberately stopped the growth of this tree. He deliberately cut off its main taproot. He deliberately stopped the nutrients in the soil from letting this tree flourish, from letting this tree grow to its full potential. And you know what's hit? This hit a chord in my spirit. And it hit a chord in my spirit for this house. You see, what was done to the bonsai tree is what Satan will set out to do to you and I here in the house. He wants to tie off your main taproot. He wants to cut off you accessing resources from the Father. He wants to stop you from getting nourishment from your Heavenly Father. And maybe you have a hard time forgiving people or forgiving yourself. And maybe you're mad at God because he didn't do things exactly the way you wanted him to. And maybe as a believer, you are causing your own spiritual growth to be stunted. Folks, if we hold on to unforgiveness here, we shut off our main taproot. We shut off our main resources from the Father. You know, this house here, there's an underground main taproot, a pipe that comes into this house that feeds this house with water. In your homes or wherever you live, there's a main taproot that comes in to that apartment or home. And that gives you water. And we need water to be able to function, because if we don't have water, we're going to dehydrate. But this is also the same for us as Christians. We need to have a main taproot that's functioning. We need to be able to receive supplies and resources from our Father in heaven. Because if we don't, we're going to be limitless. We're going to be shut off. We're going to shut off and we're going to stunt our own spiritual growth. And you know, for some here this morning, you're saying, that's okay, that's all right for you to say that. You don't know what has happened to me in my life. And I don't. But sometimes as Christians and as believers, we want to strike back. We want justice for what has been done to us. We want the other person to know the pain that they have inflicted on us. And you know, sometimes we even say, oh God, if I could just say this to this person, if I could just say that, if I could just have my last say with that person about this situation, just wait. I'm going to have my day with them. And we rehearse this thing over and over and over again in our heads. And it's like a video link being played out. And we try and find loopholes to not have a relationship with the person or the people or the organization or the group, whatever that is. Because we feel that we have been ridiculed, humiliated, just like the way Jesus was on the cross. But you see, forgiving radically not only releases us physically and emotionally, it also releases us spiritually. And one of the biggest barriers to effective prayer and spiritual growth is in an unforgiving heart. An unforgiving heart. And the dangers we put ourselves into is we begin to hold on to grudges. We begin to nurture grudges within our heart. And we begin to become bitter. And we begin to become sour. And when that happens, our character becomes defiled as a person. Our character becomes poisonous. It can become so infected as a person that even the way you carry yourself, the way you think, the way you talk as a person, unforgiveness can take root and destroy as a person. Did you ever meet a bitter person? No? Yeah? Okay. So we have one in the house. They're angry. They're nasty. They're critical. And their attitude is like a poisonous snake spitting out venom, injecting resentful toxins into the atmosphere. And people that act like this, they can even terrify you. And you get to a point that you don't look forward to being around them. And all you want to do is let. All you want to do is run in the other direction. And you have a Forrest Gump moment where it says, run, Forrest, run. And many times, you know, these people that become like that, they don't even realize that they're bitter. They don't even realize that life is wearing on them. You see, bitterness has run right through them. You see, unforgiveness and bitterness can destroy you. It will put you in a prison in your own heart. And every relationship and new experience that God brings your way, it will stunt you. You will be like that bonsai tree. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus describes in Mark 3, 5, 6. And it's a time when Jesus is in the synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. It's in Mark 3, 5, 6. And Jesus, they were trying to accuse him. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And you see, the Sabbath day was a day, it was a holy day. It was a day set aside for the Jews. It was a day that Pharisees had placed restrictions on the Sabbath to prohibit acts of mercy. But Jesus says to the man, he said to the man with the shriveled hand, he said, stand up. He said, stand up in front of everybody. And then Jesus said to the crowd, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But the crowd remained silent. The crowd didn't say anything. And he looked around at them in anger. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and they began to plot with the Herodians how they were going to kill Jesus. You see, Jesus expressed his anger. But through letting go of this anger, he corrected a problem by healing the man's hand. And although we as people, we don't welcome hurts, we don't welcome trials, we don't welcome tribulations into our life, it would be naive of us to think that we're going to escape this. And sometimes, you know, when things happen to us in life, it's not wrong for to feel anger. So if you felt anger, that's not wrong to feel anger. You see, it's what you do with the grudge. It's what you do with the anger. You see, Jesus didn't hold a grudge against the Pharisees, and he didn't hinder the power of God's glory. And the benefit of us in this house of letting go of unforgiveness releases the Holy Spirit to make radical changes, bringing radical peace and radical transformation into our lives. And what that does is it produces healthier relationships with people, with organizations, and it also produces a healthier relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, this morning, our topic, radical forgiveness or forgiving radically, I want us to get it in the house this morning. And in order for us to get this, we've got to understand what forgiveness is. And I know it's a challenging topic. Believe me, I've had a challenging week putting this together. But you know, when we understand the word forgiveness, when we understand its entirety, and when you look up the dictionary, it means to pardon. It means to no longer blame. It means to acquit of a guilt or a sin. It means to excuse. It means to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, a flaw, or a mistake. It means to cancel a debt. And if you feel someone owed you something or if they did something to you, you're not saying it's right what they've done to you, but you're excusing their behavior or what they have done if it's wrong, but you are releasing them of that debt. The Bible says, Forgiving means to pardon or overlook the wrongful act of another person, to no longer blame or be angry with someone who has done you wrong. And one of the most radical statements that came from Jesus was when he hung on that cross. When he hung on the cross in Luke 23:34, and he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." No longer could Jesus go and minister to the sick. No longer could he go and minister the good news gospel to the next village, because his hands and his feet were bound to a cross. An excruciating death was upon him. He took the sins of humanity upon his own shoulders. He was whipped, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was humiliated. And yet, he was not concerned by the wounds that were inflicted upon him. He was more concerned for man's heart and man's soul. And he didn't cry out for man's wealth on the cross. He didn't cry out for prosperity for the nation. He didn't even cry out for the hungry or the homeless. His cry was a deep cry. It was in the depths of him, this cry. And the depths of that cry was for man's salvation. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. If you believe in him this morning, have faith, my friends, you will not perish. Because that's the promises of God's word here this morning. A Savior he gave us. He came to save us, to deliver us, to give us forgiveness, to give us new life. He saw the need of the world. He saw things that the world was unable to see. He gave us what we needed. He gave us a Savior to save us, to deliver us, to pay the price for our sins here today. And when we put our faith in him, when we repent, our main taproot is switched on. And our spiritual growth is no longer stunted. Our spiritual growth will begin to open up. It will begin to flourish. Because the Maker and heaven of earth came to this land so that we would be saved. Amen. You see, the cross, the resurrection has made a way. It made a way so that you and I would be forgiven. The Father says that he would forgive all sin. Say all sin. All sin. You see, our sins are blotted out. They're blotted out. Our past, our present, our future. Our sins are blotted out. He paid the price. Only forgiveness can come from God. It is God who initiated it. And only God can completely forgive us of all sin. But you know, as believers, we're called to practice forgiveness. You see, God's forgiveness of us demands of us that we forgive others. And even personally, as I said, preparing this week, I received some disappointing news the other day. And I can't think of a more challenging command than to forgive radically. But as an elder of this house, if I were to close myself off, if I was to turn off my main taproot of supplies, I would be letting unforgiveness fester in my heart. And I would be inflicting myself. I would be inflicting the loved ones around me. I would even be inflicting the body of Christ here. I would be stunting my own spiritual growth. And Stephen read out about Matthew 18, about the unlawful servant. And the unlawful servant, when he begged the king to release him of his debt. This is a picture of what the Lord has done in our lives. Our debts are forgiven, and we don't have to pay anything back. We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to earn his forgiveness. We don't have to earn his acceptance. His love is constant. His love is agape love. And how much more will our Heavenly Father pour out his mercies? His mercies are new every morning. Are you hearing me, church? His mercies are new every morning to us. But forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness is not optional. It is a command. And we are to love our enemies. And we are to pray for those who persecute us. 70 times 7. I had to get a dictionary out to look that up. I think it's over 490 times that we are to show forgiveness. We are to continually forgive as disciples of Christ. You see, when we forgive others, we outwit the devil and we shut the door to the enemy and we forgive. And what happens then is we come out of our own prison. We gain freedom when we forgive. We know what we need to do. And you might be sitting here saying, it's impossible. You don't know what they did to me. It's impossible for me to forgive. I want to share this story with you, and I'm just closing. A Dutch woman and her family were sent to Auschwitz for hiding Jews in their home during the Second World War. Cori was a Christian woman and had been invited to speak at a conference in Portland, Oregon. And this is what she said. My name is Cori Ten Boom, and I am a murderer. There was total silence. You see, when I was in prison camp, I saw the same guard day in and day out. He was the one who mocked and sneered at us when we were stripped naked and taken into the showers. He spat on us in contempt, and I hated him. I hated him with every fiber of my being. And Jesus says, when you hate someone, you are guilty of murder. When we were freed, I left Germany, vowing never to return. Cori Ten Boom continued. But I was invited back there to speak. I didn't want to go, but I felt the Lord nudging me to. Very reluctantly, I went. My first talk was on forgiveness. Suddenly, as I was speaking, I saw, to my horror, the same prison guard sitting in the audience. There was no way that he would have recognized me, but I could never forget his face. Never. It was clear to me from the radiant look on his face while I spoke that he had come to know God. After I finished speaking, he came up and said with a beaming smile, "Ah, dear Sister Cori, isn't it wonderful how God forgives?" And he extended his hand for me to shake. All I felt as I looked at him was hate. I said to the Lord silently, "There is nothing in me that could ever love that man. I hate him for what he did to me and to my family. But you tell us that we are to love our enemies. That's impossible for me, but nothing is impossible for you. So if you expect me to love this man, it's going to have to come from you, because all I feel is hate." She went on to say that at that moment she felt a nudge to do the only one thing. "Put out your hand, Cori," the Lord seemed to say. Then she said, "It took all of the years that I had quietly obeyed God in obscurity to do the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. I put out my hand." Then she said, "Something remarkable happened. It was only after a simple act of obedience that I felt something almost like warm oil was being poured over me. And with it came the unmistakable message, 'Well done, Cori.' That's how my children behave." The hate in her heart had absorbed and was gone. And so, one murderer embraced another, but in the love of God. Amen. Amen. Are you a victim of unforgiveness here today? I don't know who hurt you. I don't know who failed you. I don't even know who abandoned you. Maybe you're bitter. Maybe you're bitter against a certain group of people. But the Lord wants to free you here today. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I'm going to ask all of us to stand. Amen. Amen. You see, what the enemy has caused for harm in your life, God wants to turn it to good. God wants to enhance your spiritual growth here today. And I'm going to ask something very brave of this house today. And if you're uncomfortable with this, that's okay. But this is what I did 12 years ago. A woman came into my life and mentored me. And I was gripped with unforgiveness. Gripped with unforgiveness that I didn't trust people. I was afraid to get involved with women on a friendly terms. I was afraid to build relationships with people. And this woman mentored me. And she said to me, Louise, you have to let go of unforgiveness. I said, I don't know how. I don't know how to let go of unforgiveness. So she said to me, write out everything that people have caused an offense on you. So I began to write and write and write and write. And then what I did then was I went to my kitchen sink and I put a match to the papers. And that's what God wants to do here today. God wants to pour out his warm oil upon his people here today. Because when I did that in my kitchen 12 years ago, I received release. I received freedom. I received God working through my life in transformation, where I was able to build relationships with people. So if you are struggling with unforgiveness here today, maybe that's an action that you can do during the week. That you can go away and you can write your list and burn that piece of paper. But if you're brave enough here today, I want to call you out. And I want to call you out to the front, because we're going to release a declaration over this house. But this declaration takes guts. It takes guts. Because once you step out, that means you're letting go of that offense. You're letting go of the hurt. You're letting go of the anguish and the pain that has been inflicted on you. And what you're doing is you're releasing your main taproot of God to come and fill you with his nourishment. So if you're brave enough, step out. And we're going to pull up the declaration. And you can say it quietly as the music is playing in the background. Amen. Father, you're so good. Father, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you here this morning. We love you that you came, Father. That you came to set the captives free, Father. You came, Lord God, to release us from bondage, Father God. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your people here this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you, Jesus. No longer, Lord God, will we be kept bound. No longer, Father God. Because what we're saying this morning, church, is we're saying to the enemy, go back to where you belong. We're telling him to go back to where he belongs. So let us begin. Okay. I want us to declare, and you can put the name of the person or the people or the organization in there, and then you can put in what the act was or the words or the misdeeds was. So I forgive. Let's say it. I forgive for. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We choose, Lord, to give you our hurts. My pain. Deliver me from this poisonous bitterness. Pull this thing out by its root. So that I can walk in your ways, Lord. I love you and I turn this situation over to you. I cast my cares upon you. And I believe you for my total restoration. Lord, help me. And heal me of all the wounds inflicted upon me. Amen. Amen. You know, your Heavenly Father has heard the cries of your heart. He hears the cries of your heart. But today, it's done. Today, it is finished. Today, it is finished. Because what Jesus will do, he will pour out his warm oil upon you, where you will be joyous, where you will be happy, where you will be sweetness again. Just like that bonsai tree, you will flourish and have the sweetness and the aroma of God coming from you. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your people here this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship. And let this be your time with God here this morning. Let this be your time of worshiping unto your King. Let this be a time for you connecting with the Father. And if you want prayer, we will pray with you. And I'll ask the intercessory team to come, the pastoral team. Thank you, Jesus.